Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. We have before us a three-part proclamation given by John the Baptist concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is John chapter 1, verse 29, which reads, "The next day John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" To make this easy on our minds, I have taken part one as the sin of the world, and we talked about this. Today we come to part two, the Lamb of God. We're going to spend a little time on this because the lamb is an important, not just animal, but an important type in the Bible. So let's do a little Bible study. As we begin, you should know that for the Apostle John, the writer of this gospel, the Lamb of God is a title for Jesus. And this is the first of several titles he gives the Lord in just this first chapter. The Apostle John also gives Jesus the titles Rabbi, Messiah, Son of God, King of Israel, Son of Man, and Jesus of Nazareth. You can read all of those in John 1. Lamb of God is a title for Jesus Christ. This word lamb is a very important word that spans the whole of Scripture. In the Bible, a lamb is not just one little animal roaming a picturesque countryside or appearing on the table as dinner. Rather, God applies significant spiritual meaning to the lamb. In fact, a person cannot understand who God is apart from knowing the function of a lamb as God intends it. I've always felt shepherds and farmers who have raised sheep are at a distinct advantage here when it comes to understanding the Bible. When I was a kid, I used to love to go out to the farm. I grew up just north of Boston, and my mom has a sister, my aunt, and she and her husband, my uncle, bred, raised, and trained Border Collie sheepdogs up in New Hampshire and Maine. So we would periodically pile in my mom's Buick and do a road trip up north. Often the last part of the drive would take us down a gravel or dirt road and onto the farm. You could smell the animals before you could see the barns. After we got settled and had some of my aunt's delicious chocolate chip cookies, we rushed out to visit with the animals. The dogs were the best. Border Collies. They're friendly, but they love to work. These dogs are extremely intelligent, and my uncle was a master. Seriously, he won many awards at training them to work with sheep. A lot of that was done with a whistle. The dog has a basic built-in instinct for herding and will literally give the sheep a direct stare in the eye, known as the eye, to intimidate the sheep, getting them to go where the shepherd wants them. A well-trained dog of this caliber is much wanted among the shepherds. And so if you're going to train sheepdogs, then you have to have sheep. And that means you have lambs. A lamb is a young sheep. And so we would occasionally be on the farm when lambs were born and being raised. And yes, they're cute. Well, in the pastoral economy of the Bible, sheep, and in particular lambs, are significant, as our Jewish friends know. I want to follow Arthur W. Pink's excellent work in his book, The Gospel of John, and take a survey of the Bible so we can see the use of lamb in the text. Pink begins by showing how the lamb was typified. By typified, Pink means the lamb is a type in the Bible. It's spelled T-Y-P-E, like when you type on an iPad. By this he means the lamb in the Old Testament represents a person in the New Testament. The lamb in the Old Testament represents the person Jesus in the New Testament. The lamb is a type of Christ. Let's see this in the text. Let me read to you Genesis chapter 4, portions of verses 1 through 5. I'm reading Genesis 4, starting at verse 1. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And so it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering, the Lord had no regard. That is Genesis chapter 4 and most of verses 1 through 5. In summary, the first two people who God created are Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve became husband and wife. They enjoy sexual intercourse and produce Cain and Abel. Abel was a shepherd and Cain was a farmer. Fast forward. It comes time for both men to bring an offering to God. And now we have to stop here in Genesis 4 verse 3 and ask, what is this offering to the Lord? Cain and Abel brought God an offering because of their sin. This is a sin offering to God. Here is what is important. I believe God had given clear instructions to both men leading up to this offering for exactly what God wanted the offering to be. But those instructions are not yet mentioned in Genesis. If you were just reading along in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3 and saw this offering being presented, it might confuse you. Hey, wait a minute. Why the offering? But when you keep reading in the Bible, you will see that God himself takes the initiative and establishes sin offerings as his way to deal with sin. Stick with the text and stick with me. We will see this. For today, we insert our knowledge from the rest of the Bible into this third verse of Genesis chapter 4. So Cain brings fruit, but Abel brings the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. In other words, Abel brings the very best lamb animal that he had, one that is nice and fatty. It is properly killed and presented to God, and the process of killing an unblemished, perfect lamb is representative of the sin of Abel going into the innocent lamb. So Abel's sin is transferred to the lamb. Abel's sin is removed from him and put on the lamb. The lamb is a substitute for Abel. Instead of Abel dying for Abel's sin, the lamb dies in his place. Now, the lamb is not a sinner. The lamb is only an animal. The lamb is totally innocent. Abel is the sinner. The lamb is killed. The penalty for sin is death. This offering is Abel's way of repenting of his sin before God, and God's way of saying, I accept your repentance. I forgive you. Your sin has been dealt with. But God rejects Cain's offering. What God expected from both men were unblemished lambs. Abel brought his, but Cain did not. Cain is not truly repentant. Cain is not sorry for his sins. How do we know this? It's in his sacrifice. What Cain brings to God tells us what he thinks of God. He only brought the fruit of the ground. He did not bring the firstlings of his flock and their fat portions. Abel followed God's command, but Cain did not. By the way, even though Cain was a farmer, that did not mean he did not have a lamb for God. He had the lamb. He just did not bring it. For our purposes today, remember the key here is the lamb, the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. Here we are very early in Genesis, and yet already we have the lamb emerging as a type. That is, God accepts the sacrifice of the lamb for sin, and the lamb in the Old Testament represents Jesus in the New Testament. So as God accepted the lamb in Genesis 4 as a legitimate offering for sin, God accepts Jesus in the New Testament as a legitimate offering for sin. When we believe in Jesus Christ, our sin is transferred to the Lamb Jesus. Believers in Jesus have our sin removed from us and put on the Lamb Jesus. The Lamb Jesus is a substitute for us. Instead of me dying for my sin, the Lamb of God, Jesus, dies in my place. And this Lamb, Jesus, is also innocent. Jesus never sinned, but on the cross he takes on the sins of everyone who puts their faith in him. This is a potent reality. No wonder John the Baptist calls Jesus the Lamb of God. The Lamb is typified. The Lamb is a type of Christ. That's first. Second, the Lamb is prophesied. I just have time to read the passage we want to look at. This is also in the book of Genesis, this time chapter 22. Genesis 22, verses 7 and 8. Genesis chapter 22 and verses 7 and 8 says, Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father! And Abraham said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. In this chapter, Abraham exercised great faith in God. That is, even though he could not physically see God, still he believed in him and is found taking his beloved son Isaac to be sacrificed at the command of God. Well, the mere fact Abraham is willing to sacrifice Isaac shows you the depth of this man's faith. What I want you to notice is that the matter at hand is again sacrifice. Something has to be sacrificed to God. And what is that something? It is a lamb. That's why Isaac asks, Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? We will pick up here next time as we continue to find the lamb in Scripture. I hope that you will plan to be with us and maybe invite someone to join you as we continue to discover who God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.